You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Love can't be hoarded up. It can't be put into a bank for a rainy day.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Free to be men and women for Him and for others. Free to accept one another as we are. Free to love one another. But this kind of love takes learning and practice. And that learning and practice must begin in the home. The Lutheran Layman's League invites you to listen to a sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman titled, On Being a Family. Our music is provided by the man of the Concordia Seminary, Lutheran Hour Chorus.
Lord God, our Father, you give us freedom in Christ, who gave himself for the life of the world. Help us, we pray, to live in that freedom without giving in to our baser desires. Give us love to live by, that we may learn life's highest privilege to serve one another in love. Make us free, truly free, O God, in our families, in our nation, and in our world. In the name of Christ, the Savior. Amen.
That is a home when God is there, and love fills every breath. When one there weeps, and one there prays, and one there heavenly rests.
If I were to ask parents who are listening today, what advice would you like to give to young people? There would be some instructive and interesting replies. If I were to ask young people, and even children, what advice would you like to give your parents? The answers might be even more interesting, and possibly no less instructive. St. Paul had something to say to the whole human family, and especially to parents and children, on what it takes to be a family. He said, "It is to freedom that you have been called, my brothers. Only be careful that freedom does not become mere opportunity for your lower nature. You should be free to serve each other in love." The freedom St. Paul is talking about is freedom to be yourself. But it is more than that. It is freedom to be and do as a man, woman, boy, or girl can be expected to be or do when he has found out what it means to be truly human. Paul had discovered that freedom for himself in Jesus Christ. He had been quite an inhuman man until he met Jesus Christ. Up to that time, he thought he was free, free to do what seemed best to him. Actually, he had been a slave to his own pride and prejudice and passions. He was proud of himself and his ancestry. He was terrifically prejudiced against certain people in the community. And he was governed by a passion which he had somehow disguised as a zeal for God. Then he met Jesus Christ and found out what freedom is all about. Find your freedom in Christ, who gave himself for the life of the world. That's what Paul said. He died for you, and in him your past is forgiven. He rose from the dead, and following him in faith will lead you to a new life. Plant your feet firmly within the freedom that Christ has won for us. And do not let yourselves be caught again in the shackles of slavery. For it is by faith that we wait in his Spirit for the righteousness that we hope to see. With Jesus Christ, there's no validity in all the little moralities that we set up for ourselves to observe. It is all a matter of faith. Faith which expresses itself in love. It is to freedom that you have been called, my brothers. Only be careful that freedom does not become mere opportunity for your lower nature. You should be free to serve each other in love. What has this got to do with being a family? Just about everything, that's all. A friend of mine has told me about a father who came home from work one day. As he was coming up the driveway, his own children and some of the children from the neighborhood met him. "What's the matter?" he asked. "We want to play Jesus Died on the Cross," explained his little daughter, "but we don't know how." That was a problem, the father agreed. How do you act out a crucifixion and a resurrection? Well, the father asked, why did Jesus die on the cross? "For our sins," came back the prompt answer which some of the children had learned in Sunday school. "Yes, Christ did die to forgive our sins," the father said. "But why did he do it? Why did he die?" The children thought for a moment, and then one of them said, "Because God loved us." "That's a pretty good answer," said the father. "God sent Christ to show that he cares about what happens to us, that he loves us. So how could you play Jesus on the cross?" "Maybe," replied one little fellow, "by loving one another." This discovery was as exciting to the children as it had been to St. Paul. The father went into the house and wondered how it would all work out. He thought he would let them work that one out on their own. Whatever the method was, it didn't work for too long a time. The sounds of a quarrel soon erupted, and the father had to go out to restore some semblance of order, if not of love. Children are something like adults. They know the right answers, but they do not always do what they know they ought to do. It is not as easy as all of that. I guess that's why St. Paul reminded people who had come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, "It is to freedom that you have been called, my brothers. Only be careful that freedom does not become mere opportunity for your lower nature. You should be free to serve each other in love." I can't think of a better place to put St. Paul's advice to work than in the home. Understanding and doing are often two different things. Understanding is often only skin deep, but love, genuine love, like the love of God in Jesus Christ, stops at nothing. It goes all the way. It is the ultimate quality that makes life worth living. Even where love should be blooming at its glorious best, in the home, it is often found withering on the vine. Everyone there is living for himself. Mother and father, son and daughter, grandfather and grandmother, all are doing their selfish thing, all demanding their selfish due, and all making life as much of a hell as they can for everyone else. When you talk about the breakup of family life today, this is at the bottom of it. Love can't be hoarded up. You can't put it in a bank for a rainy day.
to be love at all. It has got to share and to be shared. Sharing love is the mark of a free man or a free woman, a free young man and a free young woman, of a free boy or girl. That's why the freedom Christ gives is so important. In freedom, people can love. In the freedom Christ gives, a family can be a family in the fullest sense of the word. You, my brothers, have been called to freedom. You should be free to serve each other in love. St. Paul was issuing a kind of declaration of independence, of freedom from all the stuff that keeps people hemmed in and prevents them from living with one another in peace and harmony. It is freedom from the selfishness that keeps people all wrapped up inside their own tight skin. God has set men free from all of that. He wants you to enjoy freedom, to make the most of it. He wants you to have it in Jesus Christ. That's where freedom is to be found, in his cross and resurrection. From his cross, freedom issues forth in the remarkable practical way of love. The only way any one of us can make it clear that we know what freedom is. It's not freedom to go your own way and forget about the other guy. It's freedom to go all the way for the other guy. It's freedom to love, to be of help to someone else for the sake of love, to serve for no other reason but love. How much love is there in your family? To get right down to brass tacks, are you more interested in loving or in being loved? Love begets love. But how much have you contributed to that process? There's no better training ground for the sharing of love than the home in which you live. There, in that home of yours, love can't be something that you just read about or something you just talk about. There, it's real or it's nothing. Love has got to be real in the living room, at the kitchen sink, in the bedroom, or out in the yard. One of the greatest things about the love of God in Christ is that he accepts us as we are. That's love. If that's love, how much of it do you have in your home? How much of it do you show in your home? There's plenty of room for love in most of our homes. Life being what it is, just about everybody has some anxiety or other, something that worries him at the moment or keeps on worrying him. Father is unsure of his ability to cope with the pressures of business. Mother fears that she's not going to be able to keep up with father or with her children. A boy withdraws under the shadow of a brighter brother or sister. Grandmother feels useless in her advancing years. Where are people going to turn at a time like that? Father to alcohol? Mother to tranquilizers? Children to some unreal fantasy or other? Grandmother to depression and longing for death? Or do the members of the family band together to support one another in love? Does each one know, without being told, that he is important, that the others care, that the home is a haven to which he can always return for comfort and healing and forgiveness? Does each one know that he belongs? Acceptance is a two-way street. It's not only taking, but giving. That's the way it is in God's family. For the sake of Jesus Christ, his Son, God accepts people in love. For people who accept his love, there's freedom. That freedom gives. In freedom, people learn to give themselves to others as God gives himself to them. It is their way of expressing themselves in freedom. It is to freedom that you've been called, my brothers. You are free to serve each other in love. The human family is at its best when it follows Jesus Christ. In love, a family is free to serve, free to be, and free to do. No one has to apologize for the fact that he exists. Acceptance is a two-way street in the home. Parents need the love of their children, just as surely as young people need the love and understanding of their parents. The generation gap, if it is to be bridged, requires that young and old begin building that bridge from both sides of the chasm. The girders of that bridge are formed by love firmly embedded on both sides. The generation gap that all of us know did not appear for the first time in this age. It has always been there. Only it seems to be wider and deeper now than at any time in the recent past. But love is big enough to bridge even the tremendous gap that now exists. Many children feel isolated from their parents today, even more so than in the past. In all too many cases, that isolation has been brought about by parents who just don't listen to their children. Many of them don't want to listen. Many seem almost afraid of their children. Love casts out fear. When children act in a manner that is deliberately calculated to shock their parents, you can just about bank on it that they're trying to get the attention a child craves, but has failed to find in his family. Of course, parents have a lot of do's and don'ts for their children. Most of the rules parents lay down for their children are not meant to hamstring them, to keep them close to their mother's apron strings. It is because parents care for their children that they say to them, "Tell the truth. Don't lie to us. Be polite. Take your homework seriously. Make your beds. Cut the lawn," or whatever. This can't be the end of the matter. It can't govern the relationships between parents and children. When children aren't made to feel that their parents love them, the rules become merely tyrannical oppression, and children obey them only as a mechanical routine which they try to break out of as soon as possible. Children have to learn, too, that they can't always be on the receiving end. The whole world revolves around babies. All too many children want to continue being babies for the rest of their lives. Life is not a matter of saying constantly, "Iron my dress, buy my books, take me to the library, pick me up at school, and overlook my laziness." Parents have to teach their children that they must think about others. Children are to learn to give, to help, to love. Children have to learn, too, from Jesus Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for the many. This is life at its best. When you start living in this way, you're on your way to growing up, boys and girls. You're beginning to know real freedom, which expresses itself in a desire to serve in love, to serve each other in love, and to each other in this case includes your parents. Young men, young women, your parents have probably told you at one time or another, "Come home at a reasonable hour." Why? Because they hate you? Or is it because they love you? Because they're concerned about your safety and well-being. Your parents may have warned you, "Stay away from drugs. Don't mix driving with drinking. Watch out for easy necking and petting." Is it because they don't want you to have any fun? Or because they know a little something about the heartache that can last a long, long time? Is it maybe because they want your wedding to be a happy occasion? You and your parents are not to be ashamed to announce and publish the fact that you will be married. When a girl becomes pregnant, parents should be able to rejoice. They shouldn't have to shed tears, as some fathers and mothers do. I know this is plain talk, but love is not afraid of plain talk. Young men, young women, your parents, your father and mother, will love you even when you break their hearts. But why should you be the one to break their hearts when they are trying as best they can to love you? Remember, they're amateurs at their job, just as you are. Be free. Free enough to serve your parents in love. A contributing factor to the gap between parents and children today is often the gulf between husband and wife. When husband and wife are not in tune, how can there be harmony within the family? If they don't understand what it means to be free, free to serve each other in love, how can they communicate that freedom to their children? Husband and wife form a team. There are just two on this team. It is a great arrangement. Each of the two is an original, a person, all on his or her own. There's really no place in marriage for domination of one partner by the other. Each brings his or her own unique experience and background, strengths and weaknesses, understandings and misunderstandings, everything that goes into the makeup of a marriage. A wife is not a carbon copy of her husband, and a husband can never be a carbon copy of his wife. In a true marriage, each is free to be himself or herself. What a great thing that freedom becomes when it is freedom in Christ, freedom to serve each other in love. It is not easy for a man and woman to understand one another. That difficulty is so pronounced and so common that it has given rise to a lot of humor, which is one way to treat it. Only recently I saw a cartoon of a woman obviously shipwrecked on a desert island and welcoming her husband, barely able to pull himself out of the water, with the words, "Where have you been? The boat sank 2 days ago." A man and a woman are different people, thank God. Each has something to contribute to a marriage that the other cannot give. Sometimes these two think quite differently about such things as sex, a career, and what it takes to make a home. Not every woman today finds her whole satisfaction in her role as a homemaker. That's a fairly new twist, which makes understanding even more difficult. On her side, a woman has to realize that just because a survey shows that steak is a favorite meal of 75% of all men in the United States, that doesn't necessarily mean that steak is the favorite meal of her husband. Just because some women go to work to help supplement the family income does not mean for every husband that this is the cup of tea of his wife. Husband and wife must learn to understand each other individually, not on the basis of averages. Understanding with love calls for acceptance. A free man, free in Christ, really free in Christ, can accept his wife as she is. The same thing is true of a wife who is really free in Christ. Husband and wife must be free to love one another, not catering to their baser emotions. It is a great breakthrough in marital understanding when two people learn to listen to each other. The greatest thing a husband can contribute to a marriage is to listen to his wife. I should talk, but that's the way it is. In a marriage of two people who are really free, self-defense is not really necessary. Be free, said the apostle, free to love each other. Parents, educate your children to be free in Christ. That freedom is the best break in the world against their running off half-cocked. It is also the greatest incentive to growing up, as every boy or girl must. Show your boys and girls how to be free in Christ, free to love you and to love their brothers and sisters. Parents, be free yourselves in Christ, free to love your children and to love each other. In that freedom, you don't have to sacrifice every privilege and all privacy of your own for the sake of your children. In the freedom Christ gives, you will be a better husband or wife, a better father or mother, free to enjoy the physical and social intimacies of marriage while you are raising your children to be the responsible citizens of the future. Parents and children, learn to be patient with each other. Patience is the prerogative of love. In our marriage ceremony, there's a prayer. Lord, let these two people not expect that perfection of each other that belongs only to thee. With all the freedom God gives, be patient in the love you have for one another. It may be that your son has been seeing a lot of a girl whom you consider to be unworthy of being his wife. Be patient. He may discover for himself, without your help, that you are right. On the other hand, you may discover, with his help, that you are wrong. Be patient and forgiving. That's the secret of a good marriage. Forgive one another, said the apostle, as God, for the sake of Christ, has forgiven you. That advice is good for both parents and children. It's good for the whole family. It's good for the whole human family. What a world we would have if all of us could learn it. What a home you can have just by going that way. The way of forgiveness in Christ. Feel free, my friends, young or old. Feel free. In Christ, feel free to be a family, to serve each other in love.
Family. That was the title of today's sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman. Complimentary reprints may be had in regular print, in Braille for the blind, and also in sight-saving print for persons with limited vision. Next week at this time, our guest speaker will be the Reverend Amos Schmidt, campus pastor of University Lutheran Chapel, Los Angeles, California. Be sure to listen as Pastor Schmidt speaks about man's blindness to the needs of others in a sermon titled, Lord, Let Me See. To add a distinctive touch to the greeting cards you send, we have a gift for you. It is an assortment of Christian greeting cards. These attractively printed cards, along with their matching envelope, will be sent to you free and postpaid if you'll just write to us. Our address, The Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139. Canadian listeners may write to our offices in Kitchener, Ontario, or Edmonton, Alberta. And now, we join in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Life-related messages, similar to the one you heard on today's program, are broadcast in their own languages to the people of more than 125 countries every week. You are cordially invited to take personal part in this great worldwide radio ministry through your continuing interest, your sincere prayers, and your letters of encouragement. Remember to write for your complimentary copy of today's sermon titled, On Being a Family, as well as your free and postpaid packet of Christian greeting cards. Our address is simply The Lutheran Hour, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139. This year marks the diamond anniversary of Lutheran missionary work among the deaf. We of the Lutheran Hour take this opportunity to salute the dedicated men and women who have worked so faithfully for three quarters of a century in this pioneering effort of communicating to those who cannot hear the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ. The Lutheran Hour is a worldwide radio ministry of the Lutheran Layman's League.